When I prepare a homily, I sort of pray over the gospel, and sentences jump out at me. Well, this one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish. They have the resources to finish the church. Let me get that out of the way. But what wild words that we hear from today. What is Jesus talking about? Well, it's not about hate. Let me explain. It's something deeper. It's an invitation. An invitation to imagine a larger family of parents and brothers and sisters. Now, it should be noted that one way to understand what Jesus says is to interpret it in light of his Semitic way of speaking. It was an ancient way, deliberately expressing extreme opposites to get a point across, drama. So his hearers might not have been jolted as we were this evening when you heard those words. What is Jesus trying to say by his extreme mode of expression? Hate your parents? Well, that's not direct. It's a way of getting us engaged. He wants us to seriously consider the cost of being his disciples and making sacrifices necessary to follow Jesus. What's the context? This is the end of chapter 14 of Luke's gospel. Since June, we've been praying one chapter after another, beginning with chapter 9, verse 51, when the time had come for Jesus to be taken up to the Father. He made the decision to head towards Jerusalem. Since then, every Sunday, Jesus teaching, curing, preaching, and challenging. And now he's getting closer, and he's starting to say, this, folks, is serious business. And so we hear such lines. It seems at this point it's not how one feels towards one parent, but rather one's effective affect when it comes to a choice for God's kingdom. In other words, Jesus' statement is disruptive, innovative, if you will, in that it seeks to create within his listeners, then and now, a certain attitude that invites them and us to imagine that to be a follower, we should have a larger sense of God's presence and providential care. In other words, Jesus is sort of giving us what is God's, as creator's, dream for all creation. And he's inviting us into this image, into this dream. And so Jesus is calling forth a very new sense of what it means to be a brother or sister, son or daughter, mother or father. Allow me to invite you to consider this broader and deeper sense of the images of faith and of family by considering three stories, three parables, if you will. First is the parable offered by the tragedy of Hurricane Dorian. From the Bahamas to the Carolinas and now to Canada, we have been reading and seeing images of destruction. Dozens of people have been killed. Thousands of men, women, children have lost their home, their property, their villages, their necessary resources. And yet, my brothers and sisters, this tragedy, at least for this week or the news cycle, offers us a sense of compassion, a sense of bonding, a sense of unity to those people in the Bahamas, Carolinas, and Canada, and elsewhere. That we Americans, we Christians, regardless of our politics or religion, are united in our compassion for our brothers and sisters in need. And we wonder, what can we do? How can we help? Second is the parable offered this week. Where were you 18 years ago this Wednesday? Do you recall how you felt when you heard the first report on September 11, 2001? When one tower and then another fell, when the Pentagon was hit, and we heard the report that a plane crashed in Pennsylvania 18 years ago. Bring in that image and allow me to share another image with you. I got this flag, American flag, at Ground Zero in New York City.
3,000 names are on this flag. When one does further research of the 3,000 names, more than 300 are non-US citizens. Indeed, 90 nations lost citizens on 9/11, whether in Washington, New York, Pennsylvania. These are human beings. Some of you have these relatives. One of our parishioners' mother died in a crash in Pennsylvania, and she led the movement to create a monument to her mother and those companions. I once had a client who was in the Pentagon, and she told me her story, what it was like to be there when the fuselage was just yards away, and she was dragged out. And her sense, being in the Navy, a sense of guilt. I left my companions. They said, you have nothing to be guilty about. But she still had that commitment and loyalty to her fellow service people. This is what this flag represents. It gives us an invitation that our brothers and sisters who have died, and those first responders who sacrificed heroically, and all those men and women who've been affected as a result of this, an invitation for compassion and remembrance of the ways in which our God invites us in tragedy to be united, not divided, and to remember how united we were as a nation around with other nations. 90 nations read and more. The whole world was watching us as we prayed together and responded together. It's indeed a parable that invites us to ponder, where was God in this? Where was God as we move forward? A third parable of human in unity happened this afternoon when hundreds of people, some from this parish, from a wide variety of faiths, participated in the 14th annual Unity Walk sponsored by the Interfaith Council of Metropolitan Washington. Besides a dozen or so parishioners, myself, Archbishop Wilton Gregory, gave a talk, a brief talk, about the fragmentation of our world and our nation. But unity walks, like they have done for 14 years, bring us together. It was a walk event bringing together people of different backgrounds and faiths in a show of unity. And we visited chapels and churches, mosques and temples. It's ending right now at the mosque, where people are singing and bonding together in unity. We shared the vision of building an inclusive community so that one day people of all faiths will feel welcomed, respected, appreciated for their common values and despite diverse beliefs and practices. And so a number of us walked. And just to give you the list of the 10 places of worship that welcomed all, we began at the Washington Hebrew Congregation, where Jew, Muslim, Christian alike were praying together, singing. We went to the Embassy Church, which is an evangelical Protestant community, Annunciation Catholic Church. The Sikhs gave us a warm welcome, plus delicious food. St. Sophia Greek Orthodox Cathedral, we were there bonding together. The Community of Christ Church, the Sukhaya Gaya, the Buddhist Cultural Center, St. Nicholas Orthodox Cathedral, the Apostolic Nuncios Community of the Holy See to the United States, and finally, the Islamic Center of Washington, D.C., all along Massachusetts Avenue. If you will, it is a holy street right here. And what a powerful moment. And it ends across the street at the Indian Embassy on the 150th anniversary of Mahatma Gandhi. Mm-hmm. You see the symbolism, the story, the parable that this offers us. And what Jesus is saying, I want you to think larger dreams, not just in your family, in your community, in our nation. That's very important. But Jesus says, go out to the whole world and tell the good news. That's what we have done. That's what the bad news of 9/11 was. But it has the potential to continue to unite us. This is our journey of faith, my brothers and sisters. The faith as we reach out our hearts and minds to the people of Bahamas,
in their agony. Can we not pray to perhaps help them? This is the suffering Christ. This is the cost of discipleship. We can't do it alone. We gather around Eucharist and we're strengthening our resolve to be followers of Jesus, to listen to his call, so that all humanity may be one in the image of our God, a common creator that brings us into life, that continues in our life, yesterday, today, and forever.